This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Organic Gardeners. And, of course, here he is, Doug Oster, Everybody Gardens. And we're going to get to that man and all of his questions that he has for you and you for him. But I want to say if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you may win an amazing gift certificate from the folks out in Wexford at Sorgel's. Got that Janoski's gift certificate to give away. So without further ado, from everybodygardens.com, the Tribune Review, you know them, you love them. The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster. Morning, Douglas.
Well, they know me anyway. I don't know about loving me.
They love you. Hey, you know, I was at the convention center yesterday, and you just mentioned it. By the way, final day for the big travel show. Get down there and enjoy yourself till 5 today. AAA Central had a great time. Spent a lot of time there yesterday. Really a nice crowd. Good time had by one and all. But it won't be long before Mr. DeSantis rolls out the home show.
Yeah, we're making plans for the home show. I'm going to be there a lot. That's my Super Bowl.
do you actually pitch a tent there? I've often thought of you like night at the museum, like in the convention center, like 2 in the morning eating popcorn.
You know, I used to actually do the home show open to close. For like 2 years I did it that way, and that was tough. You know, you got days that are 10 to 10, but a lot of people have to go down there and do it open to close. I have to just go and talk like 3 times that one day, 4 times another day, 2 Ooh. Times one day. So I have...
good shoes.
Well, got to have good shoes, but yeah. I've got a really cool, and I can't announce it yet because I haven't put it together yet, but I've got a really cool tomato seed I'm giving away this year there at the home show. But, you know, I guess I'm going to go and talk about the tomato seed I'm giving away right now.
Why not, Johnny Appleseed?
Yeah. My friend, late gardening friend Dan Cummings turned me onto this tomato. It's called 3945. His friend Joe Roberts found it while he was actually in World War II during a battle. And they were crossing some field, and it was just filled with tomato plants. And he ate a couple tomatoes. They just like were eating like tomatoes like crazy. Well, then he saved some of the seeds off the battlefield and has been growing them ever since. And Dan in the day gave me some seeds. And so what I do is I give away this 3945 seeds. And if you want the information, you can go to either my – it's the first thing on my Facebook page this morning – and also, it's at Everybody Gardens, and it'll always be there where you can just search 3945. And if you want some of those seeds, you just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. You grow the tomato out. Then you save me some seeds and send it back. I've been doing that with this tomato for probably about 5 years now. I do it with some other tomatoes, too. But it's just kind of cool that it was found during World War II, you know, and that somebody actually was able to save the seeds in a battle and bring it back to Pittsburgh and, you know, grow it out. It's amazing. So, as I said, you could try, you know, a packet of seeds has about 5 seeds in it, and we'll send them out to you and you grow it. Because I am so excited about ordering seeds. I had a nice quiet morning yesterday, and I was thinking, I saw something online where it was like somebody made up national sit with your seed catalog day. She goes, I just made that up. And I said, well, that's a good idea. And I was thinking about what it was that when I started from growing from seed that really intrigued me. And it was just the weird stuff you could find. And so, geez, for the past 20 years, I've been getting this catalog. It's called J.L. Hudson Seedsman. It is just the most amazing book. It has no pictures in it. It just has all this list of seeds that it could be for trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, or vegetables. And I've got a bunch of weird stuff that I ordered yesterday that I wanted to talk about. I talked about what I'd ordered before was a Russian brown cucumber, which is going to be weird, and a beet called Three Root Grex, which is a cross of Lutz Overwintering, Crosby Purple Egyptian, and Yellow Intermediate Mangle beet. And it makes these beets of different shapes and sizes and different colors, and says in the catalog they're all sweet and tender, and the greens are good too. I'm just like, that is so weird. That is so cool. You know, you'd be pulling pink beets and red beets and white beets. And then I started looking through the catalog, and I could seriously spend all day just reading that catalog because there's so much information in there. I have a friend, I wrote about him, Dave Takelet, who loves hot peppers. And for him, I'm going to grow this pepper. And it's called, I don't know how to say it, Zygoli. And it starts with an X, X-I-G-O-L-E, Zygoli. And it is this little itty bitty pepper, and they're bright red when they're mature. This thing is a perennial where it comes from in, I don't know, some mountains somewhere, and extremely hot. And, you know, I love hot things. And listen to the quote here. This was in the catalog. I grew this for several years. This is from a customer, and it provided all my hot pepper needs with plenty of to give away. I liked it because I could carry over a plant or two in a sunny window. It carried on until Christmas and started blooming again as soon as I moved them outside for the summer. So for two or three years, this guy grew a pepper plant and then brought it inside, and, you know, super hot. And, you know, when you think it's super hot, a lot of times the peppers are pretty big. Now, for a guy like Dave Takelet, no problem. But for a guy like me, give me a little one. Just
What do you mix this stuff with? A little cracker?
Cheese? Anything I cook.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't eat them standing alone. They're in like some sort of recipe.
Well, when I have all my hot peppers together at the end of the season, I have everybody over. My son loves hot peppers. Since he's a little boy, he actually...
Like a small kid.
Yeah. I actually had a kind of a stomach issue one time when I gave him the hot peppers. It was not pretty.
Doug, what are you doing?
Yeah. And so I'll roast the peppers. First, I'll take all the seeds and stuff out because that's the stuff that kills you. But I'll roast them and we'll just sit there and nice cold beverage.
Yeah, absolutely. He's old enough.
30-something. And with some other friends and just kind of nibble on them, going from least hot to hottest. But what you're looking for there is the flavor. That's why people...
How in the world can you have any flavor when this stuff is like blast furnace hot?
When you cut out the... Seeds, when you cut out the flesh, when you just add a little bit, when you have just a little bit, yeah, you might get some fire. It might be painful for a little bit, but then you get that aftertaste that you can't get any other way. There's no other way, like a habanero or a Carolina Reaper.
As in Grim Reaper.
Yeah, right, that's right. What they call it. You know, Trinidad Scorpion. You know, these are all killer hot peppers, but you just put a little bit in something. Because, you know, if you're doing some eggs or something, you just put a little itty bitty piece in there and you get a little zip. You just don't want too much zip for normal people because they'll start crying.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of that gift certificate is Mary Ann from Sorgals. You know the great thing about your wonderful sponsors? They never stop. And they're always trying to do good things, even in the dead of winter.
I'm going to go up to Sorgals. I just saw that online they've got a bunch of new houseplants and succulents in, and I have to do a story on succulents. So I'm going to go up there, and I saw all the stuff they had. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that. You know, last week I wrote about these amazing roses. They're called David Austin roses. And David Austin is the guy who started breeding these, and it was all the way back in 1961, he released a climber called Constance Spry. And what he was doing was he loved the old-fashioned roses, the fragrance of them. But there were some things in the modern ones that he liked too. And so he worked for all these years to cross the old and the new together. And that's what a David Austin rose is. And so just a little story about him and, you know, his history. And it wasn't, you know, you got first rose in 1961. It wasn't until 1983 that his roses caught on, and now they're a big deal.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Doug Oster, everybody, gardens.com. The Organic Gardener is underway on KDK Radio.
But, woo!
So if you wonder what the Organic Gardener and I were talking about, don't mess with my Medicare.
Yeah, don't mess with my Medicare. That's how old we are.
Listen, are there new, by the way, the phone number is 866-391-1020. So if you've got the seed catalog and you're planning and getting ready to plant, I've often said people who live in those climates that are warm year-round, they don't have anything to look forward to, especially when it comes to the beauty of spring. But for you gardeners, that's something you anticipate. I know the countdown is underway. So anything on your mind, Doug is here. He's here every week. Get on the phones right now. Call us. They're all open, 866-391-1020. Is there always a new plant being discovered somewhere?
Yeah, it's so funny because I was interviewing this guy from David Austin Roses. His name is Michael Marriott. He's been on the show a couple times. We've had him on, and he's funny dude. I actually got to interview him when I was in England at the Chelsea Flower Show. But he's like our age, well, my age, and he's like,
yeah, I know. Rub it in. I'm 3 years older on Wednesday. Don't rub it in.
Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, 63.
Wow. You are old.
Not as old as some of these plants we're talking about.
But he gets annoyed at all the new stuff. He says he'll see these annuals come out. You know, it's brand new, but he goes, they're just ugly. I get caught up in that too, the new stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You have something, you got to have something new every year to kind of like, well, that's kind of cool. I always try them out. Sometimes they're fantastic. Sometimes they're like, eh. You never know.
Yeah, but you know what's sad, too, and I've learned because of all you have taught me through the years, I appreciate these flowers and trees, and Davy Tree will be back with you on a regular basis coming up shortly. You know, the old poplar tree that my father had as borders in his backyard, literally rows of them, how that tree has kind of disappeared now. But the beauty of that tree in my youth and on a nice spring day, it kind of blowing in the wind as the leaves were starting to, you know, bloom. That's why it's so important to hang on to these things, because you hate seeing a lot of them fall to the wayside and disappear so future generations don't get a chance to enjoy
them. We had a whole row of those in our front yard, but they're short-lived.
I've never seen them ever since that time in Gulbranson Heights in New Brighton.
It was, you know, that was, again, plants are kind of like fashion. And they come and go, you know. I did a story at out of the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show in Baltimore a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to know from professionals, like, what are something that you grow that you love that just hasn't really caught on that people should grow? And I got a lot of great answers from that, and it's just like you don't know what's going to catch on. And then I actually talked to somebody who said they were growing a certain type of plant for all these years, you never could sell it. Nobody wanted it. And she said, forget it. And then it became popular. And you talk about people that are, you know, living in a climate where it doesn't get cold.
Right.
I had a friend that moved to Florida, you know, when we were like 18, 19. And a couple years later, we talked and he said, you know what they don't have here is that they don't have that day that you walk out and something smells different.
Yeah.
And that spring is right there. It's right on the other side of those trees. They haven't leafed out yet. The sun's different, the angle, and there's something that smell blows in. It's like winter is on its way out and spring is on the way here.
Yeah, but, you know, in defense to all of my friends and brothers out there who do not like winter, I absolutely love it. I came out this morning to get in the car before 3 a.m., and it was snowing, and I kind of looked up at the clouds. And I would miss snow. And I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, what's wrong with you? But there's something about a fresh blanket of snow that's very calming. And I would miss having that that steam for breath and that little bit of that frost in the air.
Give me a winter like this one, and I don't care about winter. Winter's fine.
Well, you know what it is.
38, 40.
You grew up in an area where when it snowed, it snowed.
I was talking about this last night. My wife didn't believe me, so I don't even know if my facts are accurate. I'm afraid I'm going to get busted, but you know how it is. You look on the internet,
sure,
and
absolutely.
Something comes up. Blizzard of 78 in Cleveland.
I remember a blizzard of 76, not 78.
Yeah, we had a blizzard of 78 where it said wind chill was 60 below, and she was just like, no way.
I'm telling you.
But we were out of school in 78 for a week, and that's in a place where they know how to move snow. I mean, you know, If you're out of school for a week in Cleveland, it's cold and there's a ton of snow. We were both saying she she probably drove to her high school, and I probably drove to Kent State that day just because I didn't want to miss class, you know. But of course, it was canceled by the time I got there. So,
but see, to me, that would have been kind of magical: sled riding, spending time with friends. You know, yesterday I watched a PennDOT driver drop the blade just to kind of clean up the berm of the road, and I said, if I could use my razor that good, I wouldn't need a septic pencil. This person was absolutely an artist at what he did. But I think snow also gives the ground a chance to kind of take a bit of a nap before you all wake it up again.
Well, that's the only thing for gardening in general, is that snow is a great insulator. And so if we don't have snow and it gets really, really cold, that's always a bad thing. You know, since I'm growing year round and have stuff out in the garden, I got mustard greens out there and some lettuce, arugula, beets, a few other things. You know, they're under protection. And with snow on top of these, like of the plastic or the floating row cover, whatever it is, that's a great, great insulator. Those plants can survive. But when it gets super cold, it just, nothing can survive.
You know, Janoski's farm market expansion, so beautiful. They have the greenhouse, which is hooked on to that farm market expansion. I've often said, if I would ever hit the lottery, I'd build my daughter a swimming pool. She always wanted a swimming pool. But I always would love to have a greenhouse. I'd have you actually take care of her because I wouldn't know what I was doing. But there's something satisfying about in the dead of winter going into a greenhouse.
Well, that's what I'm writing about this week, actually.
Really?
I had somebody reach out on Facebook saying they had inherited some money. They live in Michigan. And she's been growing, like me, trying to grow year-round different ways. But she didn't know whether it should be a greenhouse or a hoop house. And
what's a hoop house?
Well, it's just like a big giant half hoop like that you could stand in, like 10-foot ceiling.
Okay.
But maybe 14 feet wide, and then who knows how long. Could be 10 feet or 100 feet long, and it's just covered in thick plastic. And so that the expert that we talk about all the time is Nikki Jabor from Savvy Gardening.
Absolutely.
She has been doing cold weather gardening for 20 years. And so I just called her and I said, well, what do you think, greenhouse or hoop house? And she told me the benefits of each one, which one was better, and how she's growing stuff. And it's fun to grow stuff during the winter.
Listen, it's no longer there, but Emmerich's greenhouse, which was just adjacent to where I grew up at Gulbranson Heights. My dad worked in a mill, but somehow, some way, he had a green thumb. He could do anything. Planted a garden, great tomatoes, all that stuff. We would make the annual trip there on a Saturday when he was off in the spring. You know, Doug, I can still remember the warmth of that greenhouse and how amazing it was, even as a kid, 10, 11, 12 years of age.
I just got a text from my wife about the blizzard. She says, wrong year, wrong temperature, fake news.
That's what we do.
I'm going to research it, and I'm gonna prove it.
I'll tell you what's fake news. I'll mock the fake news right out of you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Get on the phone. It's time for you to talk to Doug. It's all yours the next 30 minutes to talk gardening. The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster, EverybodyGardens.com, Tribune Review, 866-391-1020.
32 degrees at Pittsburgh International at 7:36. Our next news at 8 o'clock. I'm Boris Shiloff on the Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right. Thank you, Boris Shiloff. Now it's time to give away that gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton. If you are the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you will get that gift certificate. Everybody wants to talk to Doug, so let's get going, and let's say hi to Joe in Penn Hills. Joe, how you doing? Good morning. Thanks for holding on.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
I'm thinking about building a raised bed this year.
Okay.
Maybe 4x8.
Okay.
Now, do I use womanized lumber for the sides?
No, you don't want to. Now, I did read some stuff that the newer pressure-treated wood isn't as much of a problem as the old one, but I wouldn't. Not for food crops, and I don't have any science to back me up. I just, you know, something's in there. In my case, I would look for, and it's going to be a little bit more expensive. You know, rough cut cedar is what I use. There's the lowest quality as far as finish, but cedar will last forever.
What's the bottom, Doug?
The bottom, I just leave the regular dirt there. You know, that's your base, and then you fill up the you know where the wood is, you fill that up with compost. And that'll work pretty well for you. How deep do you want to make it?
Oh, that's my next question.
Well, at least 12, but you'd like 24 if you could do it. 24 inches deep would be beautiful. You know, fill that with compost, you'd have an instant garden. And that's a great way to grow. The advantage of raised beds is, you're throwing in that instant garden. They warm up quicker, but they dry out a little quicker. So when you do plant them, mulch them up really good. And the other advantage is you're 2 feet off the ground when you're down there on your knees. So it's a great way to garden. Any other questions about the raised bed?
Oh, that's a great idea. It being so high. No, that's it. Thank you.
All right, good luck with that.
Now, that's not the first time I've heard that phrase, and I even have a friend in Ohio who does that every year. What is a raised bed?
It just means instead of being flat, you know, just like rototilling, just the flat ground there, you're building up.
Okay.
And so every year I'm adding compost to my beds, and so now they are, you know, 10 inches above just where the ground level. And again, you know, it warms up quicker, but dries out quicker. But, you know, you got that good compost in there. That's what gives you the green thumb. When I first started doing it, I would put compost into that soil and dig it in. But now I'm just putting it on top and building up.
All right, Julia, you're next up in Turtle Creek for Doug Oster. How you doing? Good morning. Thanks for holding on.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good.
Okay, my question is, now that we supposedly have a corn shortage, I'm interested in how and where can I get corn to grow.
Okay, so corn is not the easiest thing to grow.
Really?
Yeah, you know, you need a lot of space for it. It needs to be planted in blocks. It's what we call wind pollinated. So that's why you always see these big, giant fields of corn, because the wind is moving that pollen back and forth. And so you don't do it in rows, you do it in blocks, like at least 4x4 blocks. If you've got the space for it, and it's a heavy feeder too. So you need good soil, and if you got lots of space, there's nothing like homegrown corn. There's an old saying when you're picking your own corn, that the water's boiling before you go out into the garden.
It's delicious.
Right. As soon as you pick an ear of corn, immediately the sugars start turning to starch. That's why, you know, we go to places like Sorgul's and Janoski's and these other places that have good fresh corn that is picked every day. But if you've got the space and if you've got good soil, you can get corn seeds anywhere. All local nurseries right now will have seeds out, and you can get some good varieties of corn that way. And again, it's about what kind of corn you want to grow. You know, some people like the bicolor, some people like Silver Queen, some people like some of the newer varieties, but I hadn't heard about a corn shortage, so.
Well, they're supposed to be using it for ethanol or something, I don't know.
Oh, right. But that doesn't mean you can't buy good, you know, corn at a place, like I said, like a Janoski's, you know, they just have, these farms, the big thing is growing corn. You know, you got to have the first corn of the season and tell everybody about it. And, you know, it's one of our last really amazing seasonal crops left. But you could do it if you want to. You should grow some. But as I said, do it in a block, not in rows, so it gets pollinated and you get lots of heads of corn or ears of corn, and then let me know where you're at, and I'll come over and I'll eat some with you.
So when you see these massive tracts of land with corn, what's the percentage year in and year out, how much of that stuff's actually edible? Because, I mean, it's just as far as the
eye just depends
see.
On it depends on who's growing it and what they're growing it for. That's all. You know, I keep using Janoski's as an example because I know their setup. I've been there. You have too. You know, most of that, if not all of it, is for us. But who knows how much, you know, is grown as feed corn? I don't know. But a farm that needs to make money off corn is going to grow it for us, because that's where the most money comes from.
All right, time to get back to the phones. Doug Oster, everybodygardens.com, the Organic Gardener, Sunday 7 to 8 a.m. Here's Ted and McDonald. Hey, Ted, how you doing? Good morning.
Morning. Hydrated lime and granulated lime. I had my ground tested, and they said to put so much lime. So we put granulated lime in the fall. In this last spring, I put hydrated on. You know, the corn got a lot thicker, the stalks and better ears. What's the difference? When I was a kid, we used to get it in boxcars at the farm, and we always used hydrated, but now they're saying granulated. What's the deal?
Well, either one's going to give you lime. Either one's going to change your pH. Personally, I've used the granulated to change it. But do you know what your pH is now? I mean, they just told you
not
how much.
Not since we put this on. We had a test in that. They said how much to put on, and we did in granulated. But this spring or last spring, we had I had some hydrated. And we at home we always use hydrated for the bug killer. That was our bug killer when I was a kid.
Hydrated lime, yeah. Well, all I can tell you is that I've used the granular to change the pH, and you've seen the results between it, you know. But either way, it will change the pH for you, and that's an important
one's not better than the other, or
to tell you the truth, I don't know. But okay. I can just tell you what I've used, which is the granulated. And whenever you know what we're talking about here is every gardener should test their soil. To see where the pH is, because even if you've got a lot of nutrients in there, if the pH isn't correct, the plant can't take up those nutrients. So that's what he was doing. He sent a test back to the Penn State Cooperative Extension. They tell him, hey, your pH is wrong. Add this much lime, and it'll be better. And obviously it is, because his corn's doing better.
All right, short break. We'll come back. Nothing like your corn doing better.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. All right. Salt and pepper to taste, as Mr. Dentisi says, with your butter. And don't forget, next hour, everything, you know, there's a great
pepper on your corn?
Salt and pepper.
All right.
You've never had pepper on your corn? Butter, salt, and pepper?
Butter and salt.
Okay. But a garlic buttered rice, that's a recipe we could be discussing today.
I'd rather garlic buttered corn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do they actually grow garlic? No, you can't grow.
I don't think so.
Okay, good. All right, we'll take a break. That's why you're the organic gardener.
Right.
And I'm the guy saying we'll be right back.
Here she is. It's time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's Denise Schreiber, our garden goddess. Good morning.
Good morning. So I can actually say I was in Florida for Night of the Falling Iguanas.
Were they actually falling?
Yeah, they sleep in the trees at night. And because it was in the 30s, below anything below 40, they kind of go into suspended animation. They were literally dropping like rocks out of the trees.
Did you see anything cool down at that show? Tropical, what is it, TPIP?
Tropical Plant International Expo.
Okay,
so, TPIE. You know, we see all the stuff that they grow as, you know, landscape plants, which are pretty much house plants for us. But the one thing I saw, and I saw it on the very last day, it's a growing pot. For now, right now it's only for growers, but I'm thinking if this really catches on, we'll start seeing it for everybody. It's made out of glue, and it's actually shaped like a very lacy pot is the best way to describe it. It is completely compostable. It is certified organic. And it can be used for plants and also for people who do hydroponics. And if you go to, and I texted you a picture of it, and I'll put it on my page later, but it's very lacy and open, and it allows for the roots to grow through rather than, you know, like peat pots, which, you know what, I've used peat pots. I've always found that I've had to slice them open so the roots can actually break out of it. This, the roots are going to grow right out. Hmm. It gives better oxygenation to the roots. This was, like, unbelievable, and it has a bunch of different sizes. And like I said, you know, right now, you know, it's for growers as it goes. One company is actually using it for all of their products. And, you know, so I can really see this. And they don't have to worry about storage. It's so lightweight. It lasts 12 months before it starts to break down because that way they can use it for the hydroponics. But it's made out of glue.
That's weird.
I know. But you know what? You can, you know, they make sheets out of bamboo. Who would have thought? You know, so, yeah, that was the coolest thing I saw.
Do you grow much from seed?
Me?
Yeah.
I grow a good bit from seed. But I, you know, I can do cuttings. You know, I've done propagation for years, and you can actually even use those for propagation as well. But yeah, I grow from seed. It's too early. It's just way too early.
Yeah, but I was just thinking, you know, it's just looking through the catalogs. I love looking through the catalogs and deciding what I'm going to order.
Yeah, I've been seeing all kind of, you know, cool things. It's like, I want to grow this. And, you know, last year I bought a new system for growing outside, trellis system. And so this year I will be growing more that grows vertical as opposed to, like, I used to grow bush beans all the time. And I loved growing them, but my yield was so much better by growing the one I grew last year was Emerite, and it is...
Say it again, what is it?
Emerite, E-M-E-R-I-T-E.
A pole bean or a bush bean?
It's a pole bean.
Mm-hmm.
And I, with this system, I actually, I think I planted 6 or 7 plants. I probably harvested about 15 pounds of beans, at least. You know, we were like, got to go pick beans. There's more. Every day we were out there picking beans.
Yeah, I like pole beans a lot. I grow a Cherokee Trail of Tears and some others, Kentucky Wonder, old-fashioned ones. But it's certainly easier to pick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And easier to, you know, get your hand in there instead of, you know, kneeling down, turning your head upside down to see where the beans are on the bush beans. So that's why I kind of switched. And the lady who called about the corn shortage, so... the corn she is talking about actually is grown specifically for fuel. It is not the corn that we eat.
Thank you very much. So it's a different type of corn. I'm reading a text, Rob. Don't wave to me.
1 minute in the broadcast. 1 minute in the
broadcast. Danielle Chapin from Chapin's Greenhouse wants a picture of those glue pots. She's interested in them, so I've got to deal with that, too, and deal with you. Can't you talk about sports or something? No, we got to talk about gardening.
Yes, we do have to talk about
gardening. If you would like a packet of the 3945 tomato seeds, the ones that were found on the battlefield in World War II, just go to everybodygardens.com. That's where all the information is with the address and everything. Send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. That's where you can also join my Seed of the Month Club. We have a lot of fun on Seed of the Month. I send you a packet of seeds that I pick specifically for the season, and they got a monthly newsletter and all sorts of other cool stuff there.
You know what I did with the last one you sent me? I went to the back porch, closed my eyes, ripped open the label, and dumped them in the backyard, and there's actually something growing there. Right.
Seriously?
Yes,
seriously. Wow.
Thank you. I'm magical. Go ahead. Take us home.
Whether it's raining, cold, sunny, or hot, enjoy every day in the garden.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.